Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello.
I almost just called Amanda Lindsay. Like, Lindsay was on the tip of my tongue.
Well, she was originally on the schedule. So.
She was, and then she...
At least you had the correct name, and you weren't going, like, completely...
Yeah.
Remember sideways. You called Lindsay Linda one time?
I did call her Linda one time. Anyway, how was everyone's weekend?
It's been okay.
It's been okay. I know there were some big football losses within the group this weekend.
We need to talk about it.
We're not talking about it. Okay. We're not talking about the football losses. Did anybody read anything? Well, I guess we'll do that during Book of the Week, but did you have a good reading weekend? It plays into what the topic is.
Why don't we just do the episode first and then we can
just wait for Book of the Week because I don't got anything else.
Oh, you don't have anything else?
We can tie that into the episode.
We can tie it in.
Okay. So on this week's episode, like, we are not chit-chatty tonight. I don't know what's going on, guys.
Well, because you opened it up on, like, a bad question.
How is that a bad question?
It just does not fit for tonight.
Well, I mean, it directly leads into...
Well, I guess it's really... It's a good question because it leads into the episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there are no bad questions. Just stupid people.
That is debatable.
I mean...
Did you get a new mug?
I've had this one for a while.
I don't think I've seen that.
And it's the soft touch.
Oh, I don't like
it.
Those ones creep me out. Leah doesn't use them.
I love them. I think they're great. I have a Sesame Street one with like the little.
I wish I liked them because they're so pretty.
I do too. They are really cool, but I can't handle the texture.
No.
Like, I need a hard slick mug.
Really?
See, now we're off on a tangent.
Now.
You're welcome. It only took a minute.
You're welcome.
Hard and slick. That's what Leah likes.
Oh, man.
So for this episode, we ponder the question, have you ever opened your Kindle, stared at your TBR, and immediately thought, I would rather alphabetize my spice cabinet than start another book?
Not that question directly, but
no.
I don't think I've ever thought to myself, I would rather alphabetize my spice cabinet.
I mean, well, but welcome to the episode. You are among your friends. We are your people, although not your spice cabinet. Today.
I don't know if we could be friends if you alphabetize your spice cabinet.
You know, I'm fine with it. It definitely makes it easier, but yeah, I'm not going to stay that way at my house.
Pull out shelf. My husband's out of control, so there's no alphabetizing. It's an entire, like,
I got these
shelf.
Really cool, like, pull-out ones off of my Vine. It's, like, three, like, bamboo ones. They're real nice.
About, at least a month ago, my mother-in-law is staying with us, and Michael had her go through the cabinet and do our yearly, like, is this expired throwaway kind of thing, and she rearranged the pantry. I still can't find things.
I was going to say... Can you find things yet? Because that's hard.
No. So I don't necessarily alphabetize, but I very clearly, like...
Things have a space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's the worst? Is when you put things and then the rest of the house does not put them where they're supposed
to go. That's like, we've lived in the same house for 14 years now and my husband still puts things...
In the wrong place.
Yeah, and I have to stand there and be like, all right, I need to think like he would. Like, where would he put this? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I will say we've only been in the house since September, so it is fair.
That's, yeah.
But still, like, couldn't do it at the old house. We were there for 6 years.
Well,
so I have no hope.
I will say that I don't live with the most observant of people. Finding things is difficult for a lot of them.
Yeah.
I understand that struggle.
So
if it's in the second row, it's never to be found.
Or you have to bend
my
down.
Kid has literally called me at work and told me they couldn't find something in the refrigerator. And I'm like, no, it's on the second shelf behind like the eggs, right? They send a video of the refrigerator. Like, where is it?
And you're like, yeah, right where I told you it was. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, hold on a second. Stanley. Hey.
I knew that was coming. I knew he
Michael,
was up to something
Stanley's
good.
eating his bed. So there's that. Today we're talking about reader burnout, the real kind, not the I just haven't found the right book kind. I would say a reader burnout is going to be a little more than a slump, but it all starts with a slump. And kind of like, why does reading suddenly feel like a chore when it used to be my favorite escape? We're going to be honest about why so many readers are hitting this wall right now. And more importantly, how to gently climb back out without guilt, pressure, or deleting your Goodreads account in a moment of rage. So if your reading feels a little off right now, if joy feels muted, or you've DNF'd 3 books in a row and side-eyed yourself for it, stay with us. This episode is permission to exhale.
Also, you should never side-eye if you DNF a book.
No. Honestly, life is too short for bad books if you're not connecting. And I know Heather likes to say she soft DNFs, like it's just not her book for right now.
Or just Leah it and go to the end and
Just
find out when
Leah it
it's.
and go to the end. There's always that.
There's always the other option.
So, it's and we've talked about this at length over the course of the last 2 months, 3 months, really, since the holidays started. Reading is hard right now. And for a variety of reasons. And to be honest, yes, the world. But it's also like life is changing. I'm not the same reader I was in 2020. Would you say you're the same reader you were in 2020?
No.
I mean, even if we take out, like we were less busy or anything like that, like I am employed full time now. I am full time editing, doing work 40 plus hours a week. Jenny is not a student, not just a stay-at-home mom. She is now like full-time librarian lady.
She has a
It
real
still
job
hasn't, yeah, it still hasn't hit that I have a big girl job. Like, I'm like,
that you
cool.
have to like drive to.
Right, but I still also don't have like kid concept. Like, I don't have homework. Like, I don't have stuff I have to do at
Oh,
home.
yeah.
Like, yeah.
You get to
Like, I
just
can leave
like.
my, yeah, I can leave my job at my job.
I mean, and Leah's working 2 jobs. She's doing editorial stuff and her job at the church. And you weren't doing that in 2020. I mean, when we met, you were stay-at-home mom full time and on occasion caring for a friend's little guy. And, now it's like, how many jobs can you juggle this week, Leah? Questions that I ask all the time.
The more the merrier. It's
And
all good till your kid has to go to the ER.
right. And Amanda, I mean, you went from corporate work to, now you're doing editorial stuff too. And so our lives are vastly different than they were even 3 years ago.
They are.
And I think that that's true for a lot of people. Your life changes, kids change, commitments change, work changes. And it's only been in the last like 6 weeks that I realize how much everything, like I have to take into account everything to understand why I'm not reading as much as I was.
Right. Jeremy sent me a meme that was like, hey, so COVID was 6 years ago, not three. I was like, oh. But we're still all like trying to figure
Rebound,
out what
recover.
normal is.
I mean, it
Well,
shifted the balance of what normal is for almost
everybody.
everyone. Yeah.
Well, and as we went into COVID, I was homeschooling full time with my kids. And I mean, they were high schoolers, but it was full time school. And in the course of that 6 years, they've graduated and nobody needs me as much anymore.
Yeah, they still need you.
Well, yeah, because we can't find shit in the pantry. But I think, and we've talked about this also at length, about books feel different right now. You know, it seems harder to dig. You know, we're very blessed right now, right? Romance is shining for a variety of different reasons. It is crossing the threshold into popularity as far as like TV being made, movies being made. Mm-hmm. More and more people, you see them reading and talking about reading and, you know, enjoying books. And romance in particular is really having its moment to shine right now. You know, we go to the store and I see someone wearing a bookish t-shirt. Six years ago, I don't know that I saw people wearing a bookish t-shirt. It's becoming more like you would see people wearing like a booked themed t-shirt, like a Harry Potter or something type t-shirt. Yeah,
like that's the thing I was like trying to think. Not that I really, I mean, it's cold, so nobody's just in their shirts right now. But
I just feel like reading is becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, like it's not as, like it's not like it's just a thing for nerdy, shy people.
It's not just the nerds are reading anymore.
Yeah. Now, I do have moments. I think it was about a year ago. Aaron wants
the nerds to take it back.
Aaron Nicholas sent me a thread that she had seen, and she said, "I feel like this encapsulates you in your thoughts." And she was absolutely right. It was all of a sudden, even the popular girls are now reading reading romance. I really wish the popular girls would find something new, go back to makeup, and let us nerds have our books back.
Oh, don't worry. Wrong. Diet culture is going to take them here real soon.
Well,
I know it's coming back. I don't like it.
I don't either.
You can get your steak and whole milk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't you worry. Go off. That was.
It's okay. Don't you worry.
I've been having way too many thoughts about that lately. So sorry.
No, I do think you're right, though. I think during COVID, part of it is during COVID, there wasn't a lot to do. So people started reading because there was literally like you couldn't go anywhere. Like you were stuck.
Yeah.
So like people that weren't big readers before started reading because there was literally no place to go.
Well, and it's not like reading. So I remember when 50 Shades of Grey came out, it was a moment. It was a blip.
Yeah.
Everybody was reading it. But as soon as the three books were out,
then people were done.
It maybe stuck around for another 6 months. And then the movies came out and whatever. But it was a blip, right?
I feel like the really popular stuff, it's like that. Like Twilight came out and then the movies and it was like a big thing. And it's like there was a lot of people that still are really into that, but like they didn't really delve outside of that like small window, like Hunger Games, Divergent series. Like people got real excited about the movies, but then it just, there wasn't more to it.
Yeah, it didn't create
like they weren't reading more books beyond.
Right. Like they weren't searching out like other series that were like this series. Like it was just a one and done type thing. And it was like big, popular, but they had no place else that they wanted to go.
I mean, I think that with Twilight, we had that YA movement of the aughts. Yeah. You know, we got the Hunger Games, the Divergence.
Yeah. It all kind of like stemmed from another one.
But it never created this huge phenomenon.
Right.
You know, and I was talking with somebody who was not really bookish, not in the bookish genre, and they were telling me things about Icebreakers by Hannah Grace. They're like, in their mind, that's the book that launched hockey romance. Oh. And I'm like, well, friend.
Let me give you an education.
Let me tell you a little bit more. But and I know that a lot of it is social media driven, right? Because 2020, we didn't have social engagement because of COVID. So we all started relying very heavily on internet socials and stuff like that for our connections, for grouping, for people. And that's how we all came together, right? Like, had it not been COVID, I don't know that we would be here tonight.
I don't think so. We would probably not have met.
No, because the podcast is something I talked about for 10 years previous of wanting to do, but life and kids and things. And then all of a sudden when you're forced to not be busy is when stuff like that, you know, can grow and happen. But, you know, I know that some of this is social media driven, right? Like books, the popularity of what people know about, like, this individual knew about icebreakers, obviously, because they'd been on TikTok and, you know, had seen
Yeah.
things.
Or they saw it in the store.
Or they saw it in the store. So, you know, I think that's fair. But then it does, I don't want to say it's resentment, because some of you might feel this way too, a little bit. Like, sometimes I'm resentful of new romance readers
I
because,
don't
like,
think I'm resentful. They annoy me because
yeah.
they feel like the books that they're reading are the first romance books and they've discovered them. But romance has been around for a really freaking long time. And there's some really amazing romance writers that have been writing since the 70s, 80s, 90s that honestly, some of them are still writing. And but they're not reading those people. They're not reading those authors. They're reading the new authors who, while some of their stories are good, there's a whole different feel to a new romance author versus an old romance author. And
I
I'm not
think,
talking age, I'm talking
no,
like.
I think part of my problem is the newer to romance readers, and I don't mean all of them,
No.
but they're loud in what they like. And I feel like the industry is changing to what they like. And I feel left behind. And it's all on me. It's not anybody else's problem because we all know if you want the books that were like the ones previous to 2021 or whatever, they're there. You just got to work a little harder to find them, right? You know, and we've touched on reading past your algorithm, looking for those tried and true authors and titles.
And I think some of it too, when I first joined social media, which was, much later because I was, just kind of reading by myself and doing stuff online or whatever, but it
Also,
was
it's our
exciting and it
age
was
too.
fun and it was nice to find a community. And I think part of, that left behind feeling is like you don't feel like a lot of these new readers are part of your community. Like it feels like a separate community. You know what I mean? And also too, I think it's that I feel like I have to be on social media, for work or just to keep up with what's going on or whatever. And I think sometimes I wish I just didn't have to, like it's a time suck, it's an attention suck, it's a comparison shithole, like
It is a comparison shithole. And I
and I think a lot of if I have resentment, it's probably about that.
I also feel like it's harder, and I know a lot of authors are feeling this too. It's getting harder to connect with other readers. Like our core community, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I love them above all. I mean, like, but like,
I was going to say, like, to Amanda's point, like, it feels like people aren't looking for the community so much as like looking to influence.
yes, yeah.
Like, a
That's a
lot
better
of
way to say it.
people
Yeah.
are not looking to build a community, they're looking to build a following.
Yes.
It's like the mean girl mentality of high school, but in the book world.
A little bit, yeah. But I do think that it's the influencer culture is some of what feels that left behind, harder to engage, harder entry points.
And I think it's that way with a lot of things. Like you could say it with, like I bring up like the diet culture or whatever, but like if you take that over into like the fitness influencers or the health influencers,
You can even do it with libraries. Like that's like a big part of my job is being like, hey, look, we need to like up our game because
I think you're right. It is everything because we see it in just mom culture. Like mom
Another
culture
one.
isn't bad enough, you
I know,
guys.
seriously.
Mommy culture is
But
like,
I think part of the problem is it's like, I mean, I know for us, like we grew up like the internet was newer, like there was dial up and AIM and like we had MySpace, but nobody had like a lot of people didn't have cell phones. And once you had cell phones, there weren't pictures or videos, like
yeah.
nothing was at the tip of your fingers. Like you had to be at your house to get on the internet, and you couldn't like leave your house and still be on the internet. Like you were chained to your desktop or your like seven
You couldn't
inch
be on
thick
a phone
laptop.
and be on the internet.
Well, I mean, we could because we had two lines. Like, we
Oh,
were
wow,
very
fancy
special.
people.
We were fancy people. But that's the thing. Like, we are chained to a computer and everything's so at our fingertips now. Like, literally, like, I can do everything on my cell phone. I
Yeah.
can read, I can pay my bills, I can talk to people, I can search. I mean, I search the Google like 7 times a day because I'm like, I don't know, let's look that up. Like, you figure Google did not exist when we were born.
Nope.
Google didn't exist when, well, it had just started when my child was born, my eldest.
That's my point. Like, a lot of these more popular people on like the social media side, like they've had a very different upbringing than we have.
Yeah, and that's true, and that plays into it. And so the other thing, and it's not something that I think we talk about enough, is the pressure to read the right thing. You know,
Yeah, I think because we kind of just gave up on that.
Well, but also like we got annoyed with it because like a lot of those right books, I guess, yeah, everybody can see me. I like
She's air quoting.
they're not as good as some of the other things that we can find. Like, and it's not to say they're bad books. There's just not,
They're not the books for us
they're not the books for
either.
us. There's not a lot of depth. There's a lot of like just surface level, and it's that's not for us. And so that's, I think that's part of it too, is like we gave that up a long time ago because it
Well,
wasn't worth it.
it stopped being escapism and reading for me, particularly last year, felt a lot like homework.
It was forced, yeah.
And I, the balance of that, like there's this, you know, I'll say to Mike, you know, like maybe I don't have anything left to give on the podcast. Maybe I'm out of book recs, you know, because I'm not reading as fast as I was. And he's like, that's okay. People still want to hear your take on things. They don't care if you're rereading the same book from 18 years ago. They just want to know, like, how's it going? How are things? It's connecting, it's community. And I need to get back to that headspace. So, would you say when it comes to reading, your headspace is now different? Like, obviously, Jenny's is very different.
I was like, mine's completely messed up. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I read Miles Morales, like Spider-Man, last week.
Ooh, ooh,
Fun.
nice.
Well, but then I was like, I looked this up, and then I'm like, there's like Beyond the Universe, Across the Universe, and like then the new one's coming out in 2027, and I'm like, why do you have to make up involved with similar pronoun like prepositions? Like, what are we doing? It's hard.
It is. What about you, Amanda? Like, is
What
your
was the question? Is my frame my reading frame? Sorry, I
What do
went
you
off on
think
a
about
Spider-Man
Miles
tangent.
Morales?
I went on a Spider-Man tangent in
Your
my brain.
reading is
Like,
different than it was even is you because well, I guess not for you, as long as we can keep you contained in NetGalley. Cause you've found what works, right? Like when you start to feeling underwater, you go back and read.
I do a lot of the times. I think for me, it was, I'm reverting back to pre-2020. I'm very much in like more into like I re-listen to urban fantasy, like my favorites all the time. That paranormal. I'm reading a lot more fantasy. A lot of that's for NetGalley, and just because I'm interested in where it's going as a genre and that kind of thing. But I've kind of like fallen away from other things that I would like to get back to. Like I barely, unless I had an arc, I don't think I read a romantic suspense book last year.
Oh.
Unless it was a reread or an arc. I didn't like go out of my way to read one. And it was just
I
because I
think we did have
had,
one for a sip and discuss.
yeah, I mean, and if it was
Like,
for
unless
the
you had to
podcast, I
read it,
did,
yeah.
but like not on my own, like
You
separate.
didn't
Like
search them out.
I didn't search them out. And I'm behind on a lot of the authors that I love. And it was just kind of like fell by the wayside. So yeah, I mean, so my reading is it's different. But I do. I will keep going until I find something that works.
Yeah.
Like I won't like not read.
And we all know Leah's reading is different. When I Leah and I first started connecting, she had like really hard rules.
I had some hard no's.
Like what she wouldn't read, what had to happen.
I've read like a chaos gremlin now.
Just read whatever.
I will. I will, if you put it in front of me, I will read it. I mean, I might not like it, but I will read it. Like and I think that's part of the fact that like I was introduced to so many different things just like within like the podcast. Not that I didn't like read a vast variety before, but like now it's just there's so much out there that, and I like being the chaos gremlin, to be
I
honest.
think it's fair. And I hate the excuse that the next discussion point is overconsumption and same-y stories. I don't like that excuse. I don't
No.
think it is overconsumption. And I don't think that can stories feel similar? 100%. But each one has its own take, its own characters.
Well, but even just the writing is different. The way an author creates a story, it's very
Yeah.
different. Like, but the thing is, like in romance, like they've created tropes, and like so when you have a enemies to lovers, like you're gonna have some similar like things in there. If you have friends to lovers, you're gonna have similar things. If you write to a trope, then you're going to find similarities between books, but that has always existed. It's just,
Yeah, I don't think that's valid reason for the burnout.
no.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. I mean,
No, it's
because,
not the books.
yeah.
It's no.
I mean, I think it can be, if you're forced to read certain things, like
Sure.
you sign up for entirely too many arcs and you read the same thing multiple times in a row because you have to finish them before your reviews are due. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that, but that's my fault.
But
That's
you
the book's
recognize that
fault,
you did this to yourself.
Yes. I mean, and like, I honestly feel like if you don't like something, go find something else.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I get like sometimes it's just too hard to process that in your brain. And then maybe it's just you just need to take a break. But like, there are books out there. There's a book out there for everybody.
There
That's
is. The thing, like, you do not have to read the popular
No.
book. Like,
Honestly, a
that's.
lot of people don't know how to find a book, though.
Well, Jenny
I
would
guess that's
know.
fair. Okay.
But the my thing is, there's so many people who are reading all the popular books, like the ones
Yeah.
that like are trending and things like that. And it's like, yeah, you might be seeing similarities there, but go past that. Just because it's popular, you do not have to read that book. There are tons of authors who are mid-list, happy place, and excellent authors and amazing books.
When I was younger, a young adult, I will say, because I think it was in high school, and I remember going to the library to look for books, because I was a library kid. And I asked the librarian, I was like, they have the display on top of the bookshelves, right? Or on the end caps.
Yeah.
And I said, I've read all these. And she goes, stop looking at the bright, shiny things up top. You need to be digging in the shelves. She's like, you've read all those. Those are not for you. Those are for the people that can't find books. She goes, we're not going to direct you what to read. You know what you like. You just have to dig in. And I think it's attention spans a little bit right now. It's easy to, like, I wanted to love Meghan Quinn. I wanted to love that Bridesmaid for Hire book. Like, I wanted to love it.
It was so long.
But it was bad. It was bad. It was not for me. It just, but there is FOMO. There is, like, you start to have a little bit of self-doubt, a little bit like,
What's wrong with me?
why
Why
don't,
don't I love it?
yes, why
See,
does,
I don't feel that way.
Leah, you probably were the kid that went to school wearing whatever the heck you wanted. You didn't even care if it matched.
Oh, I
I
didn't
think
match.
I don't think that we have that so much with like the broader population or the very popular like influencers, but I think sometimes even within our group, our small group of people, like we'll see somebody in Discord or I'll see like people that I'm friends with on Instagram that are really loving a book and I'm just like, no, or one that I really love that they hate. And
Yeah.
it's So I think there is some of that within our smaller community. I don't feel that about larger
Yeah.
books that are popular,
Yeah.
but I mean, even within our community, we have people who read a lot differently,
That's the thing.
People.
There isn't very, there's a huge variety in
Yeah.
our little community. And but that's one thing that's nice, because if somebody's looking for something that they haven't read yet, it's like,
Yeah.
here, try this, 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 and this. If you like, we know that you like this author, so this one has a similar feel to it, but more what you're looking for.
Yeah. I will say, and Jen Ellen brought it up last night at book club, that the book we read for book club in January was the perfect amount of pages. Like it was
Oh yeah.
easy and it was the perfect amount of
What is it, like
pages.
257 or something like that?
Right around 300, I think it was.
Here, I'm gonna look it up.
Life is heavy right now, right? And if reading's feeling like work, and we're already feeling heavy and we're tired emotionally, mentally, we have this fatigue. Focusing on a 600-page book
Wait, was it
feels
Flame in Our
daunting.
Midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
244.
244.
So talking about that, so I was scrolling through, like, you know how Kindle gives you the, like, the in the app, like, you have the thing and you can scroll like sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was like three or four books. I was like, oh, this sounds really good based on the blurb. Then I look at the page numbers, 400 pages. Yeah, I just kept scrolling, because I do
Yeah.
not have time to read a 400 page book.
Well, and
And also, it's probably 200 pages too.
I think that's some of it too, right? Like right now we're in a season of
Or
longer
long
books.
books, yeah.
I mean, and to be fair, I read a lot of long fantasy books.
Okay, but that's different.
But that's different. And there's that with those too. Like there are some of these, they're coming out here giving me 600, 700 pages in a part one of a 12 book series.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's just,
I
I
mean,
think
I'm
that
good
is.
with like 300 to 400, between 300 and 500 for a first part in a fantasy. You're world building, you're setting up a ton of stuff. But if you're going on to the same couple in a different book, I don't need 600, 700
Oh,
pages in the first book.
well,
Like it's the same.
and honestly, if you're that author who can get me to read a 500 page book and think,
Yes.
hey, I needed all of this, you're doing something right. But
Yes.
8 times out of 10, that is not the case. Like, that is like, the books are overwritten, the stories are just, and
Yeah.
I have skipped 17 chapters
Yeah.
throughout the book because I just don't need to
She
read
went
that.
to the last one and then read one in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think some of this is too, and I think this is, well, really probably for all four of us. I was going to say I think it affects more than three of us, but it's Jenny too now. When your hobby is books, I constantly have people say to me, "Oh my God, you're so lucky you get to read for a living. Like, you are so lucky." And I am beyond blessed that I get to do this. Like, I feel so lucky and I am so invested in my clients and in the world. And like, I am so lucky. But when your hobby becomes your job becomes your hobby, and it's harder to find the joy, which is why I'm trying to separate out. And I now realize, I always thought it was weird when we'd interview authors and you'd say, "Okay, what do you like to read?" And they'd be like, "I read thrillers." I'm like, "You're a romance writer. Why aren't you out here reading other romances to no market?" And because they'd be burned out.
Yeah. And also, I think it was with the fear of like taking a
Of
decent idea
course.
from somebody else, on accident, like not
Yeah,
even meaning
actually,
to.
I've interviewed three or
Yeah.
four different authors who, like, they never read the style of like romance that they write.
Well, I think we had Carla Sorensen, we did an interview with her, and she reads historical romances because she will never in her life.
I mean, she reads contemporary, but when she is writing,
Yeah.
she
Only
always
reads
reads
historical.
historical
Yeah.
because she doesn't want those contemporary like ideas like in her head when she's writing, because she is afraid that it will end up in her book. I was talking to Anne Penny. I did an interview with her this week that's going to be coming, like, we're going to drop that in a little bit. And she was saying that she too, like, can't read contemporaries when she's writing because she is afraid that she's going to put it into her book.
I think it's fair. I mean, but we are lucky, right? Like, I am still every day think, how lucky am I that
I
I get
just
to do
think
what I do?
my life is real weird.
It is real weird. Leah constantly talks about how, high school friend wishes her happy birthday, her neighbor wishes her happy birthday, and then New York Times bestselling author wishes her a happy birthday. It
It's
freaks
a
her out every
bizarre
time.
world.
Every
It
time.
does. It freaks me out because it's like, how do I know this person? Like, I know them enough for them to say happy birthday to me. Yeah.
Leah has
It's a
her
weird time.
moments. So tips and tricks to beat our reader burnout, because we're going to beat it. Give yourself permission to DNF ruthlessly.
Oh, yeah.
Do not wait. I like to say 20% is
But I
my,
mean it's personal opinion when you can DNF. Some people like to DNF early, some people do it later. Or like me, you can just skip around to the good parts.
But feel no guilt. Guilt-free DNFs. Give yourself permission to find something else. No one's feelings will be hurt. And that's the other thing too. Give yourself permission to n that you don't have to like the popular books. You don't have to read what everyone else is reading.
And if you
No.
do read it and you hate it, that is okay too.
One of the suggestions is change the format, not the habit. Switch it up. Audiobooks instead of ebooks, novellas instead of epic, graphic novels, memoirs, nonfiction, palate cleansers. I was telling, after book club, and we were all just kind of hanging out, chit-chatting, I was telling everyone about my obsession with true crime right now. And, so I give myself permission to, listen to a true crime podcast and then, go back and listen to an audiobook or read.
I mean, I listen to audiobooks almost like a little snippet of an audiobook almost every day. Like I do, but it's just background noise. And I always reread. Well, not always, 99% of the time, I reread an audio. So it is literally just background noise as I'm making dinner, as I'm doing dishes, as I'm doing laundry. Because it's just, I like having like that world, but I don't have to have it in front of me.
What are you doing to change up your reading habits, Jenny? I mean, apparently reading Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, I read a lot of YA and
So does it make it easier when you are from work, like reading YA, to come home and know that you get to pick up like an adult
read
romance?
what I want. Yes, it does help. And I did try to like do audiobooks on my commute and it just didn't work out for me. So I gave myself permission that like, hey, you can use this time to catch up on podcasts or just random stuff that does not really matter.
I gave you a bunch of podcasts last night.
I know, I got a list.
Lots of murder, lots of buried bodies. Just,
Well, so it's funny that we talk about overconsumption and like samey stuff. And it's like, if you look at the number of podcasts and the types of podcasts that are out there, it's the same thing. It's just ours is book form.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, we can add murder. I mean,
Not just talking murder in general. I'm just saying like podcasts themselves.
yeah, no,
Oh
for
yeah,
sure.
everybody has
Like
a
everybody has a
podcast.
podcast that they know. Rereading a comfort book. It's not, you're not regressing. You're not like going back. It's rereading counts towards your year-end goal if that matters to you. Reading is reading is reading. But I will
And you can
say,
reread that book however you want.
Rereading actually is what got me to reopen my Kindle for the first time. Because I had gone from like December 16th until the first of the year and did not open my Kindle or read anything. Wasn't interested. Didn't, just couldn't do it. And I gave myself permission to go back and read some Julie Garwood. And it has been much easier to come back in. I also did my return all of my Kindle Unlimited books. I hadn't done that yet.
Oh,
So I
no.
did do that this week.
Yeah.
Returned all my Kindle Unlimited books, and I need to go in tomorrow and clear my want to read Goodreads shelf and start
fresh.
Oh,
I need to do that.
Because that helps. That helps me reset so much. As like Amanda's having
started on the podcast, like my Goodreads was a mess and it said I was like currently reading like 289 books.
Mine often says that. My Goodreads is a hot mess all the time.
Turned off the like auto.
Yeah.
Whatever. We don't need to talk. So yeah.
Yep. Well, you know, the auto, you never know what might show up on your Goodreads.
This is true.
Yeah,
everyone would
know. My auto is still on, but clearly I don't care.
Clearly you do not care. Sue says rereading does help. When I've got the audio, I'll reread at the same time I'm listening. And I do think there is value in immersive reading. And we had Amanda and Lee and I had our Friday work meeting the other day, and Amanda said, I'm putting my phone in the other room.
Yeah, like, I did it today too.
Yeah. And that's next week. And one of my friends, David, he said he bought a brick that, you know, stops.
I found myself scrolling and I'm trying to finish an arc, and Jeremy walked by and I said, take this away from me and go put it somewhere. And he did.
Yeah.
So, and I read like uninterrupted for 3 hours.
Yeah. I need to put my phone in the drawer and stop scrolling and just read my Kindle. I have a Kindle. I just bought a new one in November. Mm-hmm. Like there's no reason to not.
Like I'll leave my phone upstairs in the bedroom and then go downstairs and read.
Yeah. I need to do that.
And then I'll be like, oh, but then I'll need my phone for something. And I'll be like, where is my phone? Because I forgot where I put it.
My worst habit is like when I'm reading something I need to write a review for, like I type out notes and like I always like start like an email for whatever book I'm reading and I leave it in my drafts, and that's where I put my like ARC notes for when I have to write my review. So that was always getting me because I go in there to type something and then I'm on social media for 20 minutes. So yeah. I just put like a pad and a pen next to me. And so I'm just, if I need to write it down, I'm just going to write it down. So
that's,
I'll add it later.
My focus has been really bad the last 2 weeks. Can't tell you why.
Yeah.
But I brought back out the focus timer.
Yeah.
You know, put my phone in the drawer and I brought back out the focus timer to get through my work because I was checking emails and then I'd go on Threads and then I was like, oh, what are they
What's
talking
so
about?
It's so easy to get like stuck from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
I mean, I have, if there's something like an email, like for work or whatever, like if I have a reminder for something, like it'll pop up on my phone. So at least I'll see it. Like, then I'll know, like, if I have to respond to something, I'll get up and do it. So I think that's helped me like be like, okay, if it's something really important, it's going to show up on your watch. And
well, that or I'll put my phone on do not disturb, but I have like those set numbers that can come through. So it's like, if something happens with the kids, like their phone numbers come through or the school comes through or Michael comes through. So it's like important stuff will always come through, but nothing else does.
Yeah. Yep. Focus is hard right now.
It is.
Well, and then, you know, you end up on Threads and you're down a rabbit hole, which you got to go over and see on Instagram so you can find the latest, like to figure out who they're referring to and what's happening. And
I know it's like you have to play detectives.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
The other suggestion,
Jenny's not around to do it for us anymore either.
No, I'm not like real... that's what I was like. I have a job where I cannot be on my phone.
I know,
like,
but you have a real
job. I have
job.
My phone on me, but it is only in case like something goes wrong with my.
But
kid.
That's the problem. Is you used to be able, you used to do all that stuff for us.
I know.
And now we have
Jenny,
to do it ourselves.
Way to abandon us. Right. Just because you had to feed and clothe and send your children to college, whatever.
Oh, I'm not sending my kids.
You're not sending kids. One of the things, okay, so actually this plays into my book of the week, but and we'll talk about that in a minute, but read outside your usual lane and like picking up Cozy Mysteries or, you know, I picked up Vykeelin's Thriller. You know, and it was decent.
Yeah, I read those.
It was decent. It was good. And it was just enough different that I didn't feel like it was as daunting.
Yeah,
Well,
I
and
feel like I'm gonna have either some kind of thriller or horror phase at some point this year.
I don't do horror,
I
but
feel like that's kind of why like I just read like all over the place, 'cause it's like then I don't get stagnant. Like I am like in the little bit of the burnout, but it's like I do read for work and do those things. But like I think that that's part of the reason I do Chaos Gremlin the way I do, because I don't get as burnt out when I read those ridiculous books.
I also picked up some professional career-oriented books recently, like to be a better editor, understanding beats of a story, or so that is part of my goal too. When I'm starting to feel like there's not a romance I could read right now that would make that I would feel engrossed and engaged in, I will go to these, to career professional books. I think that because it's within the same vein, right? And it still helps me understand what's happening and stuff, but so Sue asked the question, where does one get recs for a different genre? So for me, like Laura from What to Read Next podcast, she reads romance, but she really is focused on the thrillers and the cozy mysteries. So I go to her, local librarians, but also like I have a lot of friends on Goodreads that are not romance readers. The only thing that I will not do, and I have one person that is a friend who reads the self-help books, like, who was the crazy one that was like, wash your face, wipe your
Oh,
butt,
yeah. Rachel's
something.
something.
Like, she reads a lot of those, like, empowerment type books. You will never catch me reading those. If you catch me reading those, it is a sign. It's a sign that I need to be admitted for grippy sock vacation.
I tried in college. I was like, oh no.
I like
What'd you say,
my.
Jenny? Wait, what did you say?
I said you couldn't get out.
Yeah, it's.
So I, my BookBub, I went like I just clicked a bunch of different like subgenres and genres, and so like when those sales come, like that you get the daily sale email, like that's where I find some of the other subgenres, is because like on my
Oh, yeah.
BookBub email, like I didn't like just specify romance,
Yeah.
like I have like a variety of stuff in there.
Amazon First Reads is another really great place that I find off-genre books to read, because there's always some different things. And I'm very fortunate. My mom, who was a big romance reader, she's still a huge reader. She does audiobooks now. She's really into the suspense, the thrillers, the not I can't think of the one person. Anyway, she reads
Freedom
Sandra
again.
Brown,
Oh, yeah.
Harborne, whatever his name is. She reads tons of that stuff. And so if I'm desperate, like, hey, lady, what are you reading right now? But one of the best things, I don't know if anybody else does this, because maybe it's just my nerdiness. If you click on a book, like, so I read A Cozy Mystery. And if you click on that book and you scroll down to the bottom of the Amazon page, it'll tell you other books that customers.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Me too.
I That's how
Use
I find a
likely
ton of
does that.
authors.
It likely does that in your library catalog as well.
Yes,
Oh,
it
nice.
does.
Yeah, it does. Well, and like that's why like when I am in my Kindle app, like the in the home, like when you're doing all these, like that's why some of my like choices are really like bizarre, 'cause it like populates in there.
Yeah. Well, and there's a podcast that reviews true crime podcasts. It's called Crime Writers On. And all four of the people that are on that podcast are true crime authors.
Oh,
And
that's
so I've
cool.
read some of their books, and then some of them have fiction that I've read. So it's really just, it's the same way you find your romance books. Ask your librarian. Ask your friendly neighborhood librarian.
Yeah, and I think following different people on social media too. It's like I follow a ton of people on threads that do like horror, that do thriller, wrecks that I don't hear talked about very often. And then I'll start like following other people that read those books, and it'll take me down like a whole rabbit hole. So I think, I think it's pretty easy if you look just a little bit.
It's the same thing we say, like, how do I read past my algorithm? You just gotta look, you just and ask. If you honestly ask us too. I mean, if you're saying, hey, I really would want to read suspense, but not romantic suspense, but like Agatha Christie kind of suspense,
Oh, I
where
love
would
a
I
good Agatha
go?
Christie.
Some of it might be older books that we've read in the past, but will help you find ways. And I hear Jenny works at a library. So,
I do have some tricks for finding books pretty quickly.
yeah.
Because sometimes I'm like, I have no idea what you are talking about, kid. Like,
Janellen
But I
loves
have it
Crime
at my
Writers On.
fingertips.
One of my favorite things that the hosts, two of the hosts at Crime Writers On are married. And they do These Are Their Stories, which is where they watch and review a Law and Order episode.
Oh, nice.
And do you know how much I love Law and Order? Like, I was trying to explain it to somebody when I was young. We would go to the bar at night, and you'd come home after last call, like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And on A&E, they would have the reruns of like the first two, three seasons of Law and Order,
Oh, yeah.
from like 2 in the morning till 6 in the morning, and I would watch it and then, pass out.
They did that for a long time.
Some of my favorite watching material there. Okay, does anyone else have any tips or tricks they'd like to add to our list before we go on to our next segment? No. Okay, can I now ask you what you read this weekend? Because
Yes.
it's that time
It's that time
for
for
Book
book
of
club.
the Week!
Wee.
Book of the Week time, friends. Okay, Leah, what's your Book of the Week?
My book of the week is Unfinished by Nyssa Catherine. It is the final book in the Amber Ridge series. This is Bonnie and Zane's book. Bonnie has she left Amber Ridge 13 years ago because of things that happened, and she has like cut off all communication essentially with her family, and her siblings are Noah and Indy, who are the last two books. So she comes home. It is not like smooth sailing for her. Zane has a little bit of a past that he is trying to keep hidden, but it doesn't end up hidden, and it blows up in his face. And it was really good. It was a little longer than Anissa Catherine, a little more involved, but the way that the story played out, it made sense. Like, there was a lot going on, but they both had these really big storylines that I think if she had cut stuff out, it would not have worked as well. But then she teases into the next series as she does, and it is going to be Zane's best friend's book, and it's going to be a second chance, but they're moving into a different small town in Montana.
Okay.
It was really good.
Jenny, what's your book of the week?
It is
Spider-Man.
hashtag Man Love by Cambria Herbert. It's definitely like it's a novella in her Gear Shark series. It's just kind of a catch up with like the characters like 12 years later from the last book. It's definitely for like fans of her books,
Yeah.
not like it's not a book you could just pick up and read.
Is it
Oh, it's
just
like a
kind of like a
follow-up
catch
novella.
up, kind of
Like,
end of series novella kind of thing?
It's because it the her Gear Shark and hashtag series are interconnected, so you just like get a catch up mostly with Trent and Drew, who are the main characters in the Gear Shark, but everybody.
Okay.
Sometimes I like those are like series epilogues for the
Yeah.
most part.
Did you see that Amy Award is kind of doing that with her Kingman series?
Yes,
I
she's
did,
doing like a
yeah.
Bridezilla like
Like weddings
novella
and stuff,
series. I'm
yeah. It's
excited.
Groomzilla,
It is Groomzilla. Yes, you're
yeah.
right.
Amanda, what's your book of the week?
My book of the week is Blood Beneath the Snow by Alexandra Kennington. It's book one in her Blood and Souls duology. It's a romantic fantasy. Revna is a princess. She is the only member of her family that does not have magic. It's based on like kingdoms, and she's kind of like an outcast, and she's kind of thwarting her kingdom's like religion and practices and stuff surrounding the magic. At the same time, they are at war with another kingdom, and the queen of the other kingdom sends her like general, who they call the Hellbringer, to kidnap Revna. So there's a kidnapping pretty quick. I was
I like
very into
kidnapping.
that. It's like an enemies to lovers, but I really like this book one because you're getting a ton of them together as they kind of figure each other out. He's wearing a mask for a large portion of it, like so she hasn't seen his face. They're like out in the wilderness in like an older abandoned prison. There's a whole like, mystery that's happening around the magic and everything. And I liked it a lot. It's a really good setup. I think if you like the Danielle Jensen books, that you would like this a lot. It kind of reminds me of that with a little more steam. And then it's just a duology. So book two actually comes out February 17th. So you don't have to wait too long. But yeah, she was new to me author. I really enjoyed that one. So
I am
yeah.
intrigued by all of these
Yeah,
things.
I think you would like it. Yeah.
So I read Trailbreaker, which is by Ruthie Knox and Annie Marr. This is book two in their Prairie Nightingale series, which is their cozy mystery that they're writing together.
So they've written it like years and years ago. They wrote this like this whole series ages ago, and they're just publishing it
And they're
now.
just now publishing it?
Yeah, they wrote it like 10 years ago, I
Okay.
think they said.
Well,
They told me all about it in the interview.
in the interview.
Or
Well,
maybe it was off camera. I don't remember. I talked to them for a very long time.
it's
But
okay.
no, this Prairie, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt,
It's
but
okay.
Prairie, they have written, there's 9 books.
Well, and they were kind enough to send, I think they sent all of us a
Yes.
physical arc
I just put it on my shelf in my closet
Yes.
today because I
Of
was
this
moving stuff
book.
around.
So, Prairie is a single mom, newly licensed private investigator. This is her real first case. It's a quirky local mystery into something bigger than expected. Small town vibes, nosy locals, lots of secrets, missing persons, possible decade-old serial killer. Like, it was cozy mystery that fed into my true crime.
Yeah.
It read so fast. I really like the character of Prairie. It takes place in Door County, which is the Green Bay area up north of Wisconsin. It was just what I needed. Just what I
No, it's
needed
Ruthie
right
and
now.
Annie, so you know it's going to be
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, it was kind of like comfort food a little bit, like, 'cause it blended the true
All the
crime and the
wants.
mystery, and yeah, it just was exactly what I needed. This book releases January 27th, so you can read book one now, and then in a little over a week, you can download book two. So, and I really like their books, and I like them, and it just was perfect, just what I needed.
Yay. They are delightful human beings.
It is. They are. They're great. Okay. Make sure you're back here Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to talk about Heated Rivalry. We'll be joined by special guest Bill Keenan, former hockey pro, and he will be a debut romance author in 2026. So he has a book coming out at the end of July, called The Swan and the Sentinel. And so, I'm excited to bring him along. He brings an interesting perspective to Heated Rivalry and how it does and his thoughts on it. So I'm excited for that. Don't forget, we're here every Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live on the YouTube, or new episodes in your podcast feed by within an hour after we're done or first thing Monday morning. And one of the things that I want to say to all of us, be gentle with yourself. Doesn't matter if in 2020 you read 600 books and this year you read 6 books. Just be gentle to yourself because, seriously, if I hear the term unprecedented times one more
That
time,
is fair.
I
Yep.
like lose my shit. But give your be gentle with yourself, guys. Like, the world is hard right now. And find your escape. Find the books you want to read. Don't be afraid to say, this is not for me right now. And just give yourself some grace, right? Like, and if you need someone, we're here for you, right? Like,
Yes.
do not sit and think, something. Just know that even if you just need a friend to complain about the jackhole neighbor that didn't shovel your sidewalk for you or something, we're here. We gotcha. And if you really want, we can sick Leah on him because she's mean. So, a tersely worded email from Leah can make people cry.
Is not. I mean, it might be true.
You're like, not. Oh, wait. Yeah.
It may have happened,
Do you like
yes.
how I
Well,
used
I
the
was
word
already like
tersely?
thinking like I could like make up a fake homeowners association
Know,
email,
Jenny's
like
more diabolical. I'm just more outwardly.
Mean.
I mean, yes, I am a nice person, but I can be very mean.
Can. She was mean to me this week, you guys.
Like our
Last or
powers
last
deserved
week.
the
She
meanness.
was mean to me. Like,
I'm never mean to you when you don't deserve it.
I don't think I deserved it last week.
I think you did.
Anyway, if reading feels hard right now, that doesn't mean you've fallen out of love with books. It just means you need a little more breathing room. Slow down, change it up, take a break without guilt. Your TBR isn't going anywhere. And that
No,
gives us more
your
time to add books
story.
to it.
Honestly, just get rid of it and just read whatever the
Start
fuck you
over,
want,
right?
people.
Thanks for spending time with us. And if reader burnout has been hitting you too, you're not alone. We see you. So thanks for hanging out tonight with me, guys.
Always a good time.
Until next time.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at BuzzingAboutRomance or on Twitter at BuzzingRomance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.